The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back, September 15th, as we head into our third hour. It is a delight to welcome back our old friend Arielle Davidson. She is a senior policy analyst at the Jewish Institute for National Security of America, JINSA. And Arielle, thank you for joining us, especially at this late hour. I wanted to talk to you about a major event that took place in the world and was highlighted at the White House today, and that is the peace agreements and peace accords between Israel, the United States, and two other Arab nations. I was curious to see what CNN over on their website had to say about it. And their top story is about an HHS, Health and Human Services spokesman I've never heard of, something about releasing tax returns, the sad passing of Bill Gates's father, something about LSU's head coach, and wildfires. Nothing about this, Arielle, but it's quite monumental, isn't it?
It is. It's nothing short of historic. And this is something that, you know, I'm not surprised to hear that CNN isn't showing it on their homepage. I knew that. I had a friend check that out as well.
Yeah.
You know, they commented, they said, why isn't CNN saying anything?
The place
this?
You go for international news, you know?
I know. But, the reality is that if they, there's such a attitude that's pervasive among the media, and especially within the national security reporting community, that they cannot give Trump any credit. You know, there's no longer an ability to identify the objective good, capital G, because there's such an attitude that if Trump touched it, we must condemn it. Even if Trump did something quite monumental and quite remarkable today, which he in fact did. And I think this poses, you know, this also begs the question of, you know, how did we get to this point? Why does the media behave like this?
Yeah.
And a lot of it, I think, stems from the fact that there, you know, Obama banked his whole foreign policy legacy on the Iran deal working out. And if anything, the peace accords today really signal that the Iran deal was a disaster. If anything, the silver lining of the Iran deal has been this anti-Iran coalition forming in the Middle East precisely to push back against Iran and Iran's hegemony and their attempts to exploit the Islamic Revolution. So really, you know, what the media was doing today in part, I think, was they were grieving. They were grieving Obama's legacy. They were grieving his failures in the Middle East, which were abundantly clear today just from the successes that Trump experienced. And, you know, I think that's sort of why we're seeing this absence of any sort of real praise or even, like you said, just mere reporting on the event.
Right, because the idea that Donald Trump is anything like a normal president who can have a prime minister from another allied country like Israel and representatives from other countries on the White House talking about the kind of peace deal that comes once every 20, 25 years, if you're lucky, would normalize him, right? That is what that cannot be done. I was it was a CNN show to give them some credit on Friday that hosted the House of Representative Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Wolf Blitzer, no doubt you've seen this interview, know what I'm about to say. Wolf Blitzer did ask her about this impending deal, and she twice within a minute said Donald Trump engaged in a distraction from the coronavirus. It's a very, very odd thing. You know, this peace in the Middle East business, it's kind of the golden ring for a lot of presidencies, right? They all try it. Most of them get their fingers burned. Here we got it, or we're getting it, and they can't report on it or celebrate it.
Right, and because the orthodoxy has always been, if we just, you know, collectively solve the Israeli-Palestinian issue, then we would address, you know, the antagonism between the Arab world and Israel.
Right.
And primarily the Arab world's attitudes towards Israel.
Right.
Trump has come in and he flipped the order of operations. He said, let's address Arab world's antagonism towards Israel and use that as leverage to bring Palestinians to the table.
Right.
And you know what? I think that's absolutely the correct mentality. Because if you look at the way the Arab world is structured now, many Arab leaders are incredibly frustrated with Palestinian leadership. They're incredibly frustrated with the intransigence of Palestinian leadership. Palestinians have rejected a state 6+ times in the last 60 years, right? So there's definitely a mentality of, you know, they're just fed up. The Arab world is tired of structuring their foreign policy around, you know, the Palestinian temper tantrum. They just don't want to do it anymore. And I think Donald Trump was wise enough when he came into office, as well as his national security team, to recognize that there was a real frustration there. And he capitalized on it in a really remarkably smart way. And he upended, again, the traditional orthodoxy, this idea that, you know, the Israeli-Arab conflict or the Israeli-Palestinian conflict was what was preventing peace in the Middle East. It's absolutely not true. But that was the reigning thesis for a long time, especially under Obama.
Right. Exactly right. And Donald Trump instead came in with an totally inverted idea from every other administration prior to his, didn't he? That basically could be summed up this way. Why don't we just stand by our ally? You know, why don't we make good on the promise of our moving the embassy? Why don't we stop lecturing our ally on what its borders should be? Why don't we show where we are so that we can show the rest of the world where we are and quit playing footsie with a undemocratic movement, to say the least. Take your pick, whether it's Hamas or the Palestine Liberation Organization. And it turns out that these other Arab states, they don't seem to care about the Palestinian cause as much as the past five presidencies seem to think they should. What an interesting position we are now in here, correct?
I would say so. And for Nancy Pelosi to say it's a distraction, you know, really, going back to what you initially said, I think a lot of that stems from the fact that Biden has been campaigning on this notion that he's going to re-enter some sort of Iran deal, right? And so, but the Middle East that he's imagining is a Middle East from 2011.
Yeah.
That's not the Middle East we're dealing with now. And Nancy Pelosi knows that. And so she's going to downplay this achievement as much as she possibly can, to make the suggestion or to support the implication that this is the same Middle East that Obama was dealing with, and it's not. And because of that, it makes Biden's platform stale. It makes it out of touch. It makes it seem like he has no idea what's going on in the Middle East, and that's probably the case.
Yeah, the world kind of moved on, didn't it? And he's trying to drag it back, in a sense, to a status quo ante that, you're right, has moved on. Israel is now making partnerships with countries with the name Arab in them. By the way, a larger population, UAE, in and of itself, than the entire Palestinian nations, that would be. So it's a much bigger deal than could be accomplished directly with either the Fatah wing of the PLO or the Hamas movement in Gaza. Now you add Bahrain. It looks like other states want in. There have been rumblings from Sudan. I would not be surprised that these other states do this without some kind of nod of the head from Saudi Arabia, which would not make me surprised if Saudi Arabia gets in on this at some point pretty soon as well. And you have Joe Biden there saying, what about Iran? What about Iran? Well, what about Iran? What about Iran? They are the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism. We gave them billions of dollars, and it didn't work, and no one wants to go back there, right?
Right.
Seth,
you know how much the Iranian economy grew after the JCPOA went into effect in 2015. In 2016, do you know how much? It grew 10% because sanctions were lifted. So the Iranian economy was hanging on by a thread. Obama and his Iran echo chamber pushed the JCPOA through and basically salvaged the Iranian economy. And so, of course, you know, they're going to be flabbergasted and they're injured, I would say, by the Trump administration. They're definitely feeling the heat, or going to feel the heat, from Israel's new alliances. They feel the rise of the anti-Iranian coalition forming in the Middle East, and they should be shaking in their boots.
You bet.
And what does it tell you about the Obama administration and former Obama officials? That they're on the side of the Iranian mullah.
Yep.
Right? It's not a great, it's not a good look when you're upset at the same thing that the Iranian mullahs, Erdogan, and Hamas are upset about, which is the camp that I would put Ben Rhodes in.
You bet.
In terms of where he, in terms of what he's upset by. That's the people he's sharing a space with right now.
You bet. You bet. And it was signaled early on when Barack Obama said, we will not meddle as between dissidents in Iran and the mullahs with Iran. And when you don't meddle, when there are those with guns and those fighting those with guns, you meddle. You meddle. Ariel Davidson, you're fantastic. Thank you. It's good to talk to you again. Much appreciated.
Thanks for having me, Seth.
You betcha. You betcha. We'll talk soon.
Thanks.
602-508-0960. Your show, Here On Out. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Seth Leibson, and I want to tell you about Dinesh D'Souza's latest film. It's called Trump Card, and it's an expose of the socialism, corruption, gangsterism that defines the modern Democratic Party. This film reveals what's unique about modern socialism, who's behind it, why it's evil, how we can work with President Trump to stop it. Pre-order your DVD and video on demand now at watchtrumpcard.com. That's watchtrumpcard.com. I've been meaning to do this. Joe Biden was in Tampa today, and here, let me enter into it this way. I have a really good friend back east who is in the banking business, and some years ago he said, I can't tell you if Donald Trump isn't very smart or if he's 17 steps ahead of me. And I was thinking about that quote today, and it's obviously coming from a position that's halfway undignified. I can't tell if he isn't very smart, because he's obviously smart. You don't do this job the way he's done it. You don't win debates and elections if you're not smart. He's smart. You don't make the money he has if he isn't smart. He's smart. But you understand the sentiment. I can't tell if he's smart or 17 steps ahead of us. And it was dawning on me as I was thinking about that quote today a little bit with respect to the Middle East peace deal, particularly in overturning, you know, the deepened, hardened, encrusted, burnt in amber view that suffuses the State Department when it comes to the Middle East, which is that Israel's the problem. Autocracies and tyrannies aren't. Donald Trump had a different view on that. And got a peace deal, got two big peace deals out of it. I was thinking about that quote, and it dawned on me when it comes to Joe Biden, no one would ever deign to ask that question, would they? I can't tell if he's smart or 17 steps ahead of us. No one would ask the first part, because we all have kind of come to, I think by all, I don't just mean Republicans. I mean all Americans. This is not the brightest bulb in the on the ceiling. This is not the sharpest knife in the drawer. You know, everyone thought, well, you know, Sarah Palin is so unprepared and so undistinguished that Joe Biden will mop the floor with her in the debates. He didn't lay a glove on her. This is not a smart man. And you think, well, or is he 17 steps ahead of us? No one thinks that either. No one deigns to ask that question either. Every single day he speaks publicly, I mean every single day, there's a major problem. There is a major car crash in his head. There is a major tab crash in his motherboard. There really is. So today he's in Tampa. And we captured on audio, I'll play it for you in a moment, this statement. It just in and of itself, I mean, let me just play it for you. This is in Tampa. By the way, fully masked in a room full of six people, mind you, all very well distanced from him. Let me just point that out. Everyone's masked, all seven people in the room, six plus Biden, all very far apart from each other. And he goes into this.
Could take care, if you were a quartermaster, you can sure and hell take care of running a, you know, department store thing, you know, where in the second floor of the ladies department or whatever. You know what I mean?
Because if you Let me try that for you. Because if you could take care, if you were a quartermaster, who talks about quartermasters? It's an important job. I haven't heard, I don't hear that phrase. I don't hear that word once a year. Because if you could take care, if you were a quartermaster, you can sure in hell take care running, you know, a department store, a thing, you know, where in the second floor of the ladies department or whatever. You know what I mean?
Take care. If you were a quartermaster, you can sure in hell take care of running a, you know, department store thing, you know, where in the second floor of the ladies department or whatever. You know what I mean?
It's embarrassing. It's more embarrassing in a sense than what he said earlier in the day, which was about the lives of American soldiers lost in the war in Iran. He, of course, was confusing Iran and Iraq, which he does all the time. That will be confusing in the Situation Room. It's embarrassing. And it's odd to me. It's just odd to me that everyone's going along with this as if this is just a normal presidential contender, a normal presidential campaign. Even today he talked, I mean, I understand Kamala Harris's mistake. She said a Harris-Biden administration. I understand that mistake. But Joe Biden said it as well today. So, you know, we're all going along with something here that just isn't right. And the media knows it, because how could they not? When you see him interview with Anderson Cooper and he's clearly reading notes, you can see on Anderson Cooper's face that something's not right here. When he does an interview with anyone, you can see it in their face, especially when he's reading teleprompter answers to questions he may or may not have been given ahead of time. I mean, usually these interviews say we'd like to cover X, Y, and Z topics. You don't necessarily get the questions. Maybe they're giving him the questions. But he clearly has teleprompter scripted answers. And you see the faces of these journalists knowing that they're all doing their best not to have a car accident. You can see it because of two reasons. They're invested in this guy beating Donald Trump, and they don't want to embarrass themselves as journalists for taking interviews and conducting interviews where answers are scripted and read. That's a problem for journalistic integrity. I will tell you this. In 20 years of radio, almost 20 years of radio, there was only one guest ever, only one ever, who asked if they could have the questions in advance. And guess what? That person did not become a guest. I just said, I don't do that. I don't do that. If you're in public life and you're in public and elected office, or you're seeking public and elected office, you should be able to answer questions from any citizen. Joe Biden can't not only answer questions from any citizen, he can't finish a sentence that goes into issues of quartermaster and a ladies department store on the second floor. He can't even figure out his own analogies. It's a weird thing to watch, and it's even weirder for everyone around here to just kind of say, yeah, this is normal. This is okay. It isn't. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. For energy, boosted immunity, improved health, vitality, take what I take. Take what my friends take because I started talking about it. Take what my sisters take because I told them about it. Balance of Nature. You just take it once a day. Vegetarian capsules that you can easily open and sprinkle if you don't on food or in drink if you don't like swallowing the capsules. Everything about it is organic. No chemicals, no GMOs. Filled with fruits and vegetables. Tens of thousands of vital nutrients from 100% whole food plants, fruits, and vegetables. I'm talking apples, bananas, blueberries, spinach, carrots, garlic. It gives me all my energy, and I chalk up my improved health and boosted immunity to it. I've traveled to Europe. I've traveled to the Middle East. All since taking it, I'm subject to colds. I've gotten none. And they have a great deal right now, where they're offering free shipping and 35% off any new preferred order of their fruits and veggies. Go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code BALANCE. Make sure to use that discount code BALANCE. Energize yourself naturally with the fruits and vegetables of Balance of Nature, as I do. All right, where are we going? I got to tell you, before I take a call, go back to the calls, this struck me earlier today, too. I was picking up some food today in a store that runs CNN, and I was looking up to see what CNN was covering, and it had one of their daytime hosts, very sad looking, almost beating back tears, covering the fires in California. And this is on the day of a massive Middle East peace deal. This is on a day after the news had broke of two deputies, sheriff's deputies, being shot in Los Angeles if they wanted to cover the California beat. This is a day where a Phoenix federal officer was shot, and their tears, or their fought back tears, their lacrimal attitude is, of course, about the fires, something that nature does, not man-made, nature. Everything else I just said, man-made. And it just kind of struck me that that's what they think is important. They're not talking to members of communities who have had their businesses and homes destroyed by riots. They're not talking to families of the police officers. My gosh, how hard and fast did the media work to find the family of Jacob Blake and interview them? My gosh, how much news was made when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris went to visit Jacob Blake. Kamala Harris saying she was proud of him. So across my ticker just comes the story that Kamala Harris is, in fact, going to California. Is she going there to visit Claudia Apollinar, one of the cops, one of the sheriff's deputies that was shot? No. She's going there because of concern over the wildfires. Wildfires. Might she consider going to Los Angeles and standing with those heroic sheriff's deputies and using the same words she used for an alleged rapist? I'm proud of you. I can tell you Claudia Apollinar didn't have a warrant out for her arrest for rape. She was the victim, however, of a man who's still at large. No breaking news on the ticker at CNN. Cop shooter, police shooter, sheriff's deputy shooter still at large. Typically, that's what you would have. No noise from Kamala Harris that her trip is to visit these shot deputy sheriffs who are recuperating. No, the news is she's going there over the California fires. I'm sorry California is going through what it's going through. I absolutely am. And perhaps if they had a better forestation policy, they wouldn't be going through it. But the way the liberal media elevates these national stories to avoid man-made caused terror or man-made caused celebration when done by a Republican, like the Middle East deal, so that they can somehow manage, as Joe Biden did yesterday, to foist these acts of God, these fires, onto Donald Trump, calling him the arsonist, that's what consumes Kamala Harris and CNN is just very, very, very telling to me about the very, very, very different worlds we live in. The very, very different America we live in, and what's a priority and what's not. Donald Trump is not an arsonist. The sheriff's deputies are the heroes. Donald Trump did create a massive Middle East peace deal today, and the story is not about Gavin Newsom and Andrew Cuomo. The story might be about their failures, but not to CNN. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. If you're thinking about or planning on selling your home, you want to call the real estate agent I would call if I needed to sell my home. That's James Wexler of JMG Real Estate. There is a reason James sells more homes over $500,000 than any other agent in Phoenix and Scottsdale. James has proprietary and state-of-the-art marketing technology, which enables his customers' homes to be viewed by the widest pool of qualified buyers. And as a result, his listings sell faster and for more money. With James, you get the highest possible offer for the sale of your home. He guarantees to sell your home at market value, or he'll pay the difference. He can also make you an upfront guaranteed offer within 24 hours, if that's what you would like for more convenience. Give James Wexler a call at 480-386-0711 or visit him at jameswexler.com. That's James Wexler, WEXLER.com. Sydney is in Phoenix. Hello, Sydney.
Hey, Seth.
How are you?
I'm calling about the caller yesterday, Jerry.
Yes.
I don't know why he struck such a chord with me. I was literally screaming at the radio.
Oh.
He was talking about how President Trump is not conservative enough, and I was just going over the history, thinking to myself how I became a Republican. And in the 80s, unfortunately, I was in my 20s, and I was more concerned about New Wave Wednesdays at Devil House than President Reagan. So I kind of missed a great president, but when I really got on board was with the Contract with America with Newt Gingrich.
Yep. Yep.
And so I remember Bob Dole was the first person I just put all in. I was voting Republican. I've voted Republican ever since. And I'm always so disappointed. All of them. They've disappointed me so much. And President Donald Trump is the only one that has done what he said he's going to do, and with both arms tied behind his back. I mean, I can't even imagine what the man could do if he wasn't
If he got hiding. A fair shake, yeah. Let's just run through this trajectory for a second, Sydney, because the case was being made that Donald Trump is not conservative yesterday. So you pulled your first Republican lever for Bob Dole, and that
Correct.
Means you go from Bob Dole to George W. Bush to George W. Bush to John McCain to Mitt Romney. Is there a credible person in the world that can say or tell us that Donald Trump is not more conservative than each and every one of them? The answer is no.
I say no, yes.
Yeah, it's no. A clear no. It's a clear no. And I'll tell you something. You know, one of his cases yesterday, it was kind of interesting. He had several. But do you remember what he said, what his friends tell him the reason they vote for Donald Trump? They said it's because they like that he owns the liberal media. And I had made the point, and I think I'm right, to Jerry. I said it's not that. It's that he fights back against the media as a conservative. If he weren't
exactly
conservative, his pugilism wouldn't matter much. We had that option in Chris Christie. Chris Christie does a better job of owning the media. He ran for president. Just wasn't conservative enough for us.
Right. Exactly. I don't know why that caller just, I was just like, oh my gosh.
Well, I'll tell you, I think I know
life,
why.
I've been voting for these people and they disappoint me so much.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my gosh, I just love President Trump.
Yeah, there is an enthusiasm. See, that's a point that non-conservatives miss and it's that we don't just like Donald Trump. We really like Donald Trump. We really want him to win. And in part, it's because of his conservatism. But also, I think it's fair to say, you tell me if you agree or disagree, in part, it's because we see what the alternative is, and it's gotten worse each time. Do that same trajectory from 1996. Let's see if we can do it. Bill Clinton, Al Gore, Barack Obama, right? And Hillary Clinton.
God.
This is far more. This party is far more left wing than any of those. I think it's the combination of Trump being more conservative and the Democratic Party being more disastrous. And I'll tell you why it's stuck in your mind. I'll wear my psychology cap for a second.
Okay.
I think there's something that sticks with all of us when we're lectured to or trying to be instructed by. Let me put it that way. When we're trying to be instructed by liberals as to what conservatism should mean. I think that just kind of sticks in our craw.
You're probably right. You're probably right. But yes, and before we hang up, I got to do a shout out to Steve Oswald, your advertiser. My husband and I, within 1 month, got a mortgage with him. And we're saving like $1,000 a month on our terrible mortgage. And he was awesome. His whole staff was awesome. They took such good care of us.
That's lovely to hear, Sydney. That's lovely to hear. No, that's lovely.
Definitely.
Good. Thank you for doing that. I think it's important. You know, we are selective about, you know, who advertises. And I'll tell you, we check everything out and everyone out. But we are only able to provide this form for you all by dint of these great advertisers and members of the community who think that there's a message here worth sponsoring. So we always encourage you to check our sponsors out because they've invested in you already. So thank you for that, Sydney. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. They were awesome. Thank you so much for advertising him.
You bet.
We appreciate it.
You betcha. Thank you. I hope you'll call again and soon.
All righty. Have a good night.
Thank you, Sydney. Have a good night. You think people talk like that on left-wing radio? Is there left-wing radio anymore? And I remember we started the Bill Bennett Show the same week Air America went on. And the New York Times and everywhere, Air America, they got a full-page coverage in the New York Times Sunday Magazine. There was a documentary made about it. It was the news of the news. I'll tell you, you couldn't hear enough about Air America. And we started off with more listeners than they did with our morning drive program. We built more listeners than they did. They went through, what, 3 or 4 owners, then bankruptcy, then collapse. And we're still here. I'm Seth Leibson. We'll be right back. That's the only thing to do until my lover's dreams come true. Because I want a girl just to call on my own.
It takes two of us to deliver a very important message about this radio station. 960, The Patriot. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt.
And this is Dennis Prager. You've heard me talk about the American Trinity, E Pluribus Unum, and God We Trust and Liberty, the three things that set the United States apart.
It's a powerful idea, Dennis, and this radio station is a place where powerful ideas and principles thrive every day. We never forget that faith and freedom are part of what make our country exceptional.
There are some people in high places who apologize for America. That's something this radio station will never do.
When you listen to 960 The Patriot, we promise not to insult your intelligence and to speak the truth.
And we'll prefer clarity over agreement.
Right. This is what our radio station is all about. And as long as you're there to listen to us, we'll be here for you. Please tell your friends about it.
And absolutely tell our sponsors that you appreciate their support for this radio station, Intelligent Talk 960, The Patriot.
Thanks for spending some of your afternoon with us. I want to thank our producer pro tem, Chris Llewellyn. Thank you, sir, for taking a break from the vice presidency of all things important here at Salem Phoenix to produce for us today. Bill will be back tomorrow. If you missed my monologue, you can always go to YouTube, youtube.com, and put in the search window 960 The Patriot. Hit subscribe, and you get everything for free there. No cost at all. I spoke today about something I want to end with, and it's the importance of the culture and the debates we seem to have about it that don't get taken as seriously as they should. We don't seem to connect the dots between a society that thinks it's okay for a presidential nominee to be interviewed in one of his rarest of rare interviews, because he doesn't interview that often, with someone like Cardi B, given the lyrics that she had just become famous for. We don't make a connection between that and countenancing what Netflix is pouring into our air vents and airwaves with its movie Cuties. That's what I tried to connect. You know how much I like the trumpet. I can't do better than quote Wynton Marsalis. Wynton Marsalis. What's more damaging than a statue of Robert E. Lee? The rap lyrics. I've repeated it, I still repeat it, and I'll say it again. I don't think we should have music talking about the things they say in those lyrics. It's much more damaging than a statue of Robert E. Lee. You can't have a pipeline of filth be your default position and not have it take a toll on society. Thank you, Wynton Marsalis. You can't have a pipeline of filth be your default position and not have it take a toll on society. What is that toll? Decivilization. Decivilization. But, to quote Thomas More in A Man for All Seasons, I show you the times. Until tomorrow, folks, thank you. God bless you. Stay strong. Class dismissed.